is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you in. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi hanging out in Jersey. We say good morning, Michael. How are you?
Patrick, how are you today? How are things?
Doing great. And the contrarians, the books, they bounce back as we had a run of chalky wins. Now, here we go as far as the dogs coming back and barking. I won't call it steam. I don't want to get you started this morning. But we'll start with Sunday night. The Raiders came up huge for the sports books, of course, and the contrarian bettors as 2/3 of the money apparently was on the Chiefs. They closed 7.5, but a cover for the Raiders.
You know, I found interesting the Super Contest that they were 0-5. Most of the unanimous picks in the Super Contest in both the Westgate and the Circa were bad this week. And I think this was a game, when watching that game last night, when Mahomes throws that interception at the end of the first half, I felt like that was the end of the chance to cover that number. Because the way the Raiders were moving the football in that game, this was going to be a true tennis match. Whoever could hold serve, and Aguilar's drop really was the crucial one. I mean, the Raiders only had the ball 3 times in the second half before the last play of the game, right? And they had that 1-3 and out. It cost them. But that turnover at the end of the half killed that 7.5, 8, whatever number you got in terms of covering, and it really helped the books out. Typically, you don't see Mahomes make that mistake. He did. But, you know, when you go back and watch it, Patrick, you know, and looking at it, there's nothing the Raiders could have done to not keep time on that clock. You know, it was like they had too much time. And like Andy Reid said after the game, you give me a minute and a half and a timeout and Patrick Mahomes, I feel good about my odds. And he was right.
Yeah. And, you know, I was wondering, I'll just quickly get you updated. The dogs went 7-5 ATS. We also saw the unders cash 7-5 as well. If you're a Raiders team, a team that went to Arrowhead and beat this Kansas City team, moral victories, we don't care about those in gambling. But how do you discuss this loss for the Raiders coming out of it as a better and looking to the future?
Well, I mean, look, their defense is a liability. We know that. I thought last night they rushed a little bit better than they typically do, because I think when you look at the left tackle, Eric Fisher, he wasn't healthy in the game. And Crosby and whoever was going against him was putting some pressure. Mahomes had to move around a little bit more than he was used to. When you go back and watch the Tampa game, Brady didn't have to move at all. I mean, Brady didn't have to move an inch. So that's a little bit of a problem there, I think, for Kansas City. And I think Kansas City's offensive line is going through a little bit of that. That's going to be challenging for them. But when you watch the game, I mean, look, the Raiders defense, I mean, Abraham gets all this publicity being this great safety. You know, he talks about him, you know, but when they put the Pro Football Focus up, he was the 93rd safety out of 96. And then the play of the game, he leaves the spot to chase Mahomes right where Kelce gets his the touchdown pass. I mean, it really cost him the game. His play at times is so erratic. He misses tackles. He has these unnecessary roughness penalties that you don't understand why he does. He's trying to prove he's a tough guy. It really didn't work out for him. I mean, that's the issue. Their defense just isn't good enough, but they're going to be a hard team to play come playoff time. I promise you that.
You know, it's almost impossible for a team like the Chiefs to be under the radar as champs, and Mahomes under the radar as an MVP and a champ in just his third full season. But you take a look. I mean, he just popped up and said, I'm the MVP. He's -118. Yeah. Now we can throw the updated numbers here. -118. Rodgers lost, obviously, in overtime. Murray lost last time we saw him out. Wilson's been struggling. So Mahomes, I mean, he's got one pick on the year. He's got 27 touchdowns.
I would have liked Rodgers at the end of that game, in the Indianapolis game. They have the ball 1st and 10 with 47 seconds to go with the 15-yard line. I thought they were going to win that game there. I thought Rodgers was going to throw a touchdown pass and not let the game get into overtime.
Right.
He threw a check down. He threw a 7-yard pass to Tonin, and they had the clock running. And then he misses Tonin on the other side. He tries to throw the ball over to Davante Adams, and he's got Tonin wide open on the other side. I mean, that was disappointing. I think if you asked Aaron Rodgers today, he would have liked to have those 3 or 4 plays back at the end of that drive, because they were, you know, let's face it, the catch that Scanling makes down the middle of the field's a huge catch. They got a chance to win that game right there. Don't let it get to overtime.
You know, competitively, the league is tilted to the AFC, obviously, with 9 teams with winning records. You go to the NFC, that conference right now, just 4 winning teams with winning records. I think you're okay if you're the Raiders. Remember what they went through with COVID. That defense essentially didn't practice this week. You kind of have a walking out of this game a good feel for the Raiders, no?
Yeah, I do. I think the Raiders have been, I think, look, the Carr is playing way better.
He's playing great.
Than anything, you know, I think he's upped his game even better than he was last year. He's throwing the ball down the field. He's playing with much more confidence. Colton Miller back at left tackle really helped them. You know, they haven't had their offensive line intact. I mean, Trent Brown still hasn't played at right tackle. And they've been able to do some things. They're a hard matchup with teams, especially with Waller at tight end. Aguilar has come through for them as an outside receiver. I mean, Rudd is supposed to be their explosive playmaker down the field, and he hasn't had that chance to do it as much, you know, like he did in the first Kansas City game. They've done a nice job offensively. Defensively, they're just not good enough up front, and they don't have enough team speed on defense. When they get to play certain teams, they will struggle. But matchups this week, you know, they're going to go play Atlanta in Atlanta. That'll be a tough game for Atlanta because Atlanta will have a hard time getting off the keeping them off the field.
Okay, Michael, I mentioned 7-5 ATS for the Dogs, 5 outright wins. Let's talk about one of those wins. The Titans were catching 6. They beat the Ravens 30-24. I don't know if you saw it after the game, but Vrabel and Harbaugh gave him the Heisman, wouldn't shake his hand. I don't know if there's something there, but we're trying to figure out where this Ravens team is right now.
Well, I think, you know, look, they both said, Harbaugh and Vrabel both said they shook hands, whatever that is, I don't know, you know, but I think this, the Ravens offense is broken. I mean, we said this on Sunday, you know, Lamar Jackson throws the ball 5.3 yards outside the numbers to the left, 5.5 outside the numbers to the right. When he throws it over the middle of the field, it's 8 yards. I mean, Mark Andrews, like, once again, is his leading receiver. You know, Dez comes in, has 4 catches for 28 yards. That's not good enough. Until they start getting the ball outside the numbers or changing what they do offensively, the Ravens offense is going to be a problem. Here's how they start overtime. Now, this is a team that has to run the football. They start overtime, they give the ball to Dobbins on a 2-yard gain. Okay, fine. The next play, they go drop back pass, they get sacked. Now it's 3rd and 13. They got a punt. I mean, now they're in trouble. You know, now the game's over. I mean, what the Ravens did so good last year, Patrick, was they were number one in the National Football League in not having negative plays, negative yardage. Forget about how many negative plays, negative yardage. They had 240 yards of negative plays. So far this year, they already have over 230. So they've had too many negative plays. And when you have an offense that relies on staying ahead of the down and distance count, and you start and you get sacked to a team that really can't rush the passer. I mean, the greatest pass rusher in the history of football was on IR in Clowney. And so they still was able to get pressure on them. So for me, I think their offense is broken right now, and they need to fix it. They need to redesign some things, and they got a short week to do it in.
They're on the outside looking in as far as the AFC playoff picture right now. They're 6-4. They're just 4-6 ATS. You mentioned the offense is broke. The identity. Listen, I understand they're dealing with injuries. Everybody is. If you were to fix this team, what would you do? Because last year we knew their identity. Time of possession. Don't turn the football over. Run the football. I don't find an identity when I'm watching them now.
If I were John Harbaugh, I would tell my offense coordinator, look, I want Lamar Jackson under center. I want to run some bootlegs. I want to run some nakeds. I want to move him in the pocket a little bit so he could set his feet, and I want to throw the ball outside the numbers. I want to stick with one back. I don't care who it is. Is it Gus Edwards? Is it Ingram? I'm going to put two backs on the field. We're going to try to run the football. We're going to create a game where he's under center more than just the read option game. We're still going to have the read option game involved, but we got to get him to where we can diversify our run game. We're going to run different runs with a lead back so we can get a little bit tougher on offense and not have to finesse all the time. And then defensively, we got to get Calais Campbell back. We got to get Williams back. I mean, that's $25 million of salary cap money that's sitting next to on the bench because they're injured right now. We got to get those guys back. The other thing you got to do, you got to get Marcus Peters to play better.
Yeah.
I mean, they signed Marcus Peters to a huge deal, and Marcus Peters isn't playing worth a darn right now, and they got to get him better. I mean, what A.J. Brown was able to do in terms of not getting tackled, that's all you need to know about where they are with that football team.
Hey, you know what our buddy the mayor would do? He'd get Greg Roman out of there, bringing Kubiak.
And so would Bill Berman, by the way. He would get him out of there, too.
Billy B., happy birthday. Now, the one thing it is alarming, if you take a look at Baltimore, they threw for 177 yards against that Titan secondary. That Titan secondary is terrible.
Well, they didn't attack him, Patrick. They just threw the ball down the middle. I mean, Andrews led the team with receptions. He had like 97. His long play was 31 yards. They never attacked. Hollywood Brown had 3 targets for no catches. You know, it's like and I said this when they drafted Hollywood Brown. I think he's a great player. But with Lamar Jackson, you need big receivers who have a wide catch radius that he can throw the football to and get yards after the catch. I think that's ultimately, when I watch Baltimore, I think of a basketball team that doesn't space the court, and everything gets packed in the middle. And I think that's their biggest issue.
Walked off the Titans with a win as 6-point dogs in Baltimore, 30-24. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Right now, you've got four teams in the NFC East playing patty cake, Michael. Four 3-win teams. By percentage points right now, the Eagles are still in first place. Let's start with them in Cleveland. Your thoughts just to take away from that matchup.
You know, everything in my power rankings, everything that I worked on all week long said that I should take the Browns. And for some reason, like an idiot, I thought that the motivation of it, this is do or die to take the Eagles. And it proved to be completely wrong. I mean, the Browns are who they are. They run the ball. It's not Baker Mayfield, slightly better than Case Keenum. Not much, slightly.
Slightly.
You know, but they run the ball effectively. You know, they can control the line of scrimmage. Their defense rushed. I mean, at some point, when are the Eagles going to be on? Stop on this nostalgia tour. I mean, Jason Peters, lovely story, but I'm sorry, he's not a left tackle anymore. He may have been on the championship team. Why not bring Chuck Benarek back? I mean, seriously, like they just have all these guys that were on the team. I mean, Alshon Jeffries had two targets, no catches. If they want to do a reunion tour, they should go ahead and do it. But the Eagles are right now not a good football team. They duped me once again, thinking that they had a little bit in them. You know, I thought Seattle the other night would beat Arizona, not by my numbers, just because I thought they had a little in them. And I counted on Philadelphia. But what I learned on Sunday is Philly doesn't have anything in them.
The Browns win and cover 22-17, obviously stays under the total, the posted total of 45.5. You take a look, and I was watching that game. It's almost like, you know, the Browns popped one with Chubb late, but the Eagles, the turnovers and the penalties and the sacks, I mean, he is under constant duress.
I mean, and look, they you know, Sanders has got 16 carries for 66 yards. Boston Scott had another good day, and yet he doesn't want to hand the ball off. He keeps putting the ball in a guy's hand who is a constant turnover machine. I mean, he would have had three interceptions if the kid would have caught the ball in the end zone and went through his hands. Do you remember that play?
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, it's just been – I mean, the number one thing, and we've said this numerous times, they have no identity on who they are on offense. They're just truly battleship football. They call plays. They do different things. It doesn't really make any sense what they do, and it's kind of, look, once again, 2-for-12 on third down, Patrick, 0-for-9 last week. And here's the question that bothers me. When they ask Doug Peterson, they say, are you going to keep playing Carson Wentz? And he almost looks indifferent to the question. And he answers, of course. Well, really the question asks, if you're not going to bench Wentz, then what's wrong with the offense? Tell me, if you're not going to bench Wentz, then what's wrong with the offense?
And you're watching it. They could run the football. It's like, I understand the pass pro is not there, but you're running the football. You ran for almost 110 yards. Keep feeding them the ball. It's a tight game. The weather's shifty. Run the football.
And really, I mean, look, they're poorly designed offensively. You're not that bad on third down, especially a team that when they won the Super Bowl were great on third down. Look how far Carson Wentz has dropped. Think about it.
It's really shocking.
I mean, and he could keep saying he's a starting quarterback, but I promise you, the 30 teams in the league, the teams that need a quarterback, they may not give up a first round pick. You couldn't get a first round pick for Carson Wentz.
Okay, we should probably discuss the worst performance in Week 11 by far, and that's the Detroit Lions. And we need to have a discussion about Matt Patricia. Listen, they closed 3. They just got beat by an XFL quarterback 20-0. And when I say nothing, they didn't get to the red zone. Stafford was sacked all over the place. They failed to adjust on defense. You can run all over this football team. I mean, they're so behind. It really was dispirited. You had the worst record sitting with Carolina, and Rule's team played with their asses on fire, whereas Patricia's team laid down.
Well, look, I mean, Carolina was a team. It was the perfect setup for Carolina. If you're going to play a backup quarterback, play Detroit. It's not a hard coverage to figure out. You know what you're going to get. It's going to be easy. They're slow on defense. And with DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, you can make some plays. And they did. I mean, imagine if McCaffrey would have played in the game, how bad that game would have been. And here's the thing that's amazing. As a Lions fan, and I know you are, Patrick, the last 5 weeks going into that game, the Panthers had only forced 2 punts, both by the Bears.
Yeah.
And so, and here they are, the Lions are punting like crazy. I mean, it was like a straight, like the one thing that Matt Rule's not been able to do is get his punt return team out there and really get them working hard. Because at the end of the day, Matt Rule's punt, they've never forced punts. They've been horrible on third down. They made the Lions, the lot, or I should say the Lions made them look like they were a really good offensive football team.
They punted in Carolina's territory. I mean, you're sitting there 4-5. I don't want to crush them too much because people don't care about the Lions, but that was depressing. And Matt Rule, that defense was getting after Stafford, and it's exciting college and pro football action every week, Michael, at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. MGM has all your favorite wagering options, in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip and bring a state-issued ID. Boom, you're going to be able to bet everywhere here in Vegas. Whatever your sport, whatever your style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology, fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of the best games. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. So on Fridays, we ask Michael, are you impressed? Was he impressed with Taysom Hill? We'll come back and find out right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hoops betting guide is out. You're being neglectful. You're not doing yourself a service if you don't get our college hoops betting guide. It really is massive. It's got everything you need to know, specifically with a year like this with so much in flux. You got to get it. Get this massive in-depth guide to all the teams, conferences, impact players for this unique college basketball season. It has predictions, insights, stats, research from all of our VSiN basketball experts. They're the best. You're going to want to dive in before the first games tip off this week. Make sure you get the hoops betting guide plus everything VSiN has to offer every day of the basketball season and all year round. Right now, you can save 25%. It's a great deal. Just sign up at vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, we do welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. There's Michael Lombardi. We ask him on Friday, impress me. He says, impress me. Well, Taysom Hill. The Saints ended up closing 3.5. They cover that 24-9 over the Falcons. Were you impressed, Michael, with Taysom Hill?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, his accuracy was even better than what we've seen with Drew Brees. He threw the ball down the field, got Michael Thomas involved. If you would have told me before on Sunday morning that Alvin Kamara would have one look at as a receiver, no receptions, and then average about 3.5 yards a carry, and the Saints would win by 14, 15 points, I'd say you're crazy. I mean, I think Hill did a great job. He led the team in second in the team in rushing. He was able to make all the throws. He got Michael Thomas involved with the offense. I thought it was a really spectacular start to his NFL career as a quarterback. And I thought his accuracy was really impressive throwing the ball up the field and on the short and intermediate throws.
Yeah, good point as far as the rushing numbers as well. Thomas, who had over 100 yards receiving, he dropped one. Saw that one? Oh, my goodness. Yep, it was 20 yard. It was going to be a big pickup because Taysom, he's not going to stretch the field. Thomas dropped one. It's almost shocking. He's so reliable. But yeah, he was 18 to 23, 233, no touchdowns, no picks, no problem. Three sacks. I thought he was good, Michael.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, they had a chance in the red zone to even extend it. They had first and goal at the 4 and couldn't get it in. Had to settle for a field goal there. I think they can build on that. It'll be an interesting game as they go to Denver this week and take on Vic Fangio and what Vic tries to do to him defensively, which much like what he did with Tua Tagovailoa the other day on Sunday. So we'll see. But I thought it was a really good performance. I thought Sean Payton play calling was very good, and they pushed Atlanta around.
You just need to stick with Tua. Because when you start stretching yourself with that, struggle. It's a tough one. Hey, listen, I'm sure the family has a hard time with that one. Let's go. Philip Rivers. So the Colts, this was a really interesting game. We could go into this for hours. We'll get into it here. The Colts end up closing 1.5 favorite. They do win 34-31. Did Philip Rivers impress you?
I thought he did. He threw the ball really well. I thought he was moving in the pocket a little bit. The Packers' rush really never got to him to really affect him. I thought the concern I had going into the game was the Packers' speed defensively. Was it going to be enough to give Rivers trouble? And it really wasn't. I mean, even the Smith brothers, they couldn't put enough pressure on him inside. And Rivers made a couple plays. But when you're up 28-14 at the half and you don't score until the last second of the third of the fourth quarter, that's on you. You know, they went through the whole third quarter and didn't get a first down, basically. And they allowed the Colts to get back into this game. But Rivers did, I thought, what he needed to do against a secondary. Got him in a couple matchups. The touchdown pass to Trey Burton was the really good call. He's in 13 personnel, one back, three tight ends. He gets Green Bay to stay in base personnel. And then he takes one of those tight linebackers, Smith, and has him matched up on Burton. Really good call, really good play design. Although I'll say this, Frank Wright's end of the game management leaves a lot to be desired. He gave them every chance to win that game, and Aaron Rodgers had a chance to throw the ball in the end zone at the end of the game and didn't do it, or else we'd be talking about how bad Frank Wright's game management was in that game.
Spreading the football around as well, Rivers, 13 players caught passes in the win over the Packers. And finally, impress Michael Lombardi, the Eagles' run D.
Oh, horrible. I mean, look, they did it well in the first quarter. They held Kareem Hunt to 11 carries for 13 yards, so they stopped him. But Chubb broke out, and he made enough plays. You know, this is the third home game in a row the Browns have had really bad weather. I mean, it's been another bad day, and the Eagles' defense couldn't make a play when they needed to make a play. The Eagles' team can't make a play when they need to make a play.
Okay, good job, Taysom Hill. Good job, Phillip Rivers. Bad job, Eagles run D. You didn't impress Michael. By the way, if I told you the bad weather is because of Lake Erie, can you give me the other four Great Lakes?
Huron, Michigan, Ontario, and Superior.
Oh my gosh, right? I mean, let's just be fair. That was not planned before. My man on the spot is sharp as a tack. Speaking of sharp, you know who's next? Josh Applebaum.
Oh, he got steam coming. There was steam was on them Eagles too, but it didn't. That steam didn't help those Eagles.
Cook a turkey with some steam in our buddy Josh Applebaum. Homes, we used to say homes. Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, Superior. That's how you did it. Coming up next here on the Lombardi Line, it is Josh Applebaum right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. MGM customers, a chance to win $100. Just go over to BetMGM, use the bonus code VSIN100. The Rams or Buccaneers score a touchdown. Bam, you're going to get it paid in free bets. New customers, get ready for showtime. Download the app, BetMGM. VSIN100 is the code. The Rams or Bucs score a touchdown, you're going to get $103. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years or older, Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER. In New Jersey and West Virginia and Tennessee, call or text Redline, 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a problem, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Okay, we welcome you back. There's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. He is Josh Applebaum. Josh, quickly, the dogs got back on track. Let's go there, and then let's set up the number for Michael on Monday Night Football with the Rams and the Bucks. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Patrick. Hey, Michael. Yeah, I was talking to TG, and Patrick, you always joke he puts wood floors in his apartment.
Yes.
TG texted me. He said yesterday was the best day of the year for the sports book, and kind of what we saw there is what TG mentioned. Yeah, he said the Broncos were massive, the Raiders and Dallas were all huge plays. And I think the story yesterday is that it was really just a crazy day in general, because you had some sharp plays that didn't even really come close and look terrible, like the Eagles, like the Falcons. And then you had these other dogs that really had line movement way against them and then came out and won outright. Like I'm looking at the Texans, the Panthers, the Broncos. The Broncos, to me, were the biggest surprise of the day, because that was pretty much a huge lopsided play to the Dolphins. They're -2.5 up to -4. Broncos ended up winning outright here. But then also you did have some sharp moves that hit. So one was Dallas. We saw them go 9.5 down to 7. They win that game outright. Tennessee was +7 down to +6. The Colts were a big decision for the books and for contrarians because you had a ton of money coming in on the Packers. Line moved to the Colts, -2.5, settled 1.5. They're able to win that fade the trendy dog cover opportunity there. And then, of course, Patrick, you talk about unders. You know, this is kind of a thing to keep an eye on as we go throughout the season here. Under 7-5 yesterday. They've had two good weeks in a row here, and I think that may continue because you're starting to see bad weather, second matchups between divisional opponents. Keep an eye out for these unders, especially if you get bad weather in Cleveland, Patrick. That seems to cash every time.
And I knew you had a little extra pep in your step there, Mr. Applebaum. Now, Rams, Bucks. The Rams have been great against the NFC, and the number open 3.5. It's been bet up. The Bucks are getting bet here, Michael Lombardi, up to 4.5, and a total of 48.
Yeah, this one's intriguing.
Go ahead, Josh.
Well, I was just going to say, and Michael, I can't wait to get your take here because this one's a little bit difficult to cap in one regard, and then it's clearly a line move toward the Buccaneers. But what I'm looking at here, guys, two good teams, Rams 6-3, Tampa Bay 7-3. But Michael knows this better than anyone. A lot of the Rams wins, other than a big win against Seattle 23-16 last week, covered the three. All their wins have been against the NFC East and the Chicago Bears. You look at Tampa Bay, just crushed Carolina 46-23. What I'm seeing here is that tickets are somewhat split. The public says the Rams are good. They just beat a good team, Seattle. Now they're getting points. But also, how do you not take Tom Brady in prime time laying a short number? However, this line move has all been toward Tampa. It leads me to believe you have some smart money on the Bucs tonight. They're not a big public play, but they open -3.5. They got all the way up to -4.5. Now you're starting to see a little buyback. The line is now down at 4, but you have Jerome Boger, a very good home ref, one of the best home refs here. Home team is 56%. And Michael, you'll love this stat here. Jared Goff struggles against pressure. Goff as a favorite in his career, 25-21, 54%. Goff as a dog, 6-9 ATS, 40%. So Michael, what's your cap in this game? Do you think this number is short? Also no Whitworth for the Rams. What do you expect out of tonight's game?
I think Todd Bowles is going to come after Jared Goff. I think that when you watch the Rams, when they lost Whitworth last week, they kind of went into their shell a little bit. They were concerned about Note Bloom playing left tackle. I think they'll be the same. They're going to try to run the football as best they can and try to stay and keep their game going. But I think they're going to get attacked from all different levels. I think this is a game where Todd Bowles knows how to play them. I think Todd Bowles will be really good attacking the pocket and making Goff get uncomfortable. And then I think also this, you know, they got embarrassed at home against New Orleans on Monday night or Sunday night TV, one of those national games. They looked bad. I think this is a game they've got to show they're really a good team. They know New Orleans has won again. It's important. They've got to protect inside against Aaron Donald, but I think they can work away from Jalen Ramsey, and there's a lot of options for them in this offense to make plays. I expect Brady to play good tonight.
Well, maybe the Bucs are getting hit because they're not playing the Saints. I'm glad you brought that up. The Bucs are 0-2 straight up in ATS in the two games against the Saints this year. They scored just 13 points and allow 36 against everybody else. They're 7-1, Josh, straight up, and 5-3 ATS. So this really is, it's a chasm as far as how they perform against the Saints and everybody else mostly.
Yeah, you're totally right here. Saints definitely have their number in this one. I think Michael brings up a great point in terms of how, you know, Bowles and Tampa Bay can attack Goff here. And again, Goff under pressure is a completely different quarterback than Goff when he's got protection and time to react, time to read, you know, all his progressions and obviously his left tackles out here. But to me, what I like about Tampa Bay, number one, you don't have any contrarian value. And I really thought the public would just load up on Brady here. But I think they may be overrating the Rams based on their record and beating Seattle last week. Remember, public is all about what did you do for me last week? That can create overvalued situations. So the fact that tickets are somewhat split slightly into Tampa, but really all line move has been in their favor, that leads me to believe that Tampa is you know, a bit of a sharp play tonight. And also, Michael, I wanted to get your take here. Any lean on the total? Because you have the public betting the over, seeing this high-powered Tampa Bay offense, but we have seen the line either stay the same or fall, 48.5. You know, it's pretty much at 48.5, some books at 48. Primetime unders are 21-12 this year, 64%. Didn't hit last night with the Raiders, but overall they've been pretty good. And the Rams are a big under team, 7-2 to the under. So maybe we see a lower scoring game, Michael. What do you think of the total here?
I think this is a game about pace. I think the Bucs want to control the ball because I do think they need to play from in front. What you have to do against the Rams is make them get into a drop-back pass game, and then that puts Note Bloom and their tackles on islands, and I think that's what they'll try to do, and they'll slow this game down and to get it into the third, fourth quarter where they're having to drop-back pass and can't rely on their play-action pass. I do think it's an under game, Josh.
Yeah, and you know the Rams are the underplay this year. They're 6 straight under, 2-7, I believe you mentioned, to the under this year overall. Yes, it is 2-7. So that is, excuse me, to the over. So 7-2 to the under for the Rams this year. And that you know, that's going to be an interesting. I just wonder where that number ends up, Josh. Not the total in particular, but the spread.
Yeah, I'll mention Patrick Michael. What did surprise me a little bit is when this got to 4.5, I thought maybe it would continue to go that way, but you did see, and this is a little thing, you know, again, this isn't why I'm so, you know, just clear to Tampa Bay, because you did see buyback 4.5 down to 4, and also you do have the Rams. They're matching quite a few systems here, that short road dog, that primetime dog. But to me, anytime I see kind of relatively even betting, but a line move, it leads me to believe Tampa is the play here, but I don't think it's a layup like other games we've seen in primetime.
Okay, we'll get some thoughts on Thursday. Of course, Thanksgiving, Tua, Herbert, and of course, Joe Burrow news as we continue along here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you missed anything, go to VSiN.com. You can check out Josh's podcast there as well. VSiN.com/podcast. Come on back. To hire, you need Indeed. You instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. And this is the perfect package, man. Manscaped's got you covered with the Perfect Package 3.0. They've redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary advanced skin tape technology. So this trimmer cuts safe on your, well, you know, it's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower, and that's huge. Tis the season to manscape, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all time. That's the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSIN20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use the code VSIN20. Clean up your, you know, and make Santa proud this year. Okay, we do welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSIN studios here at the South Point. We were talking about the Rookie of the Year odds. Down goes Burrow. And, you know, you just saw the game completely shift as well when Burrow went down. We haven't heard specifically what it is. It does appear to be a tear ACL-wise. Michael Lombardi, your thoughts?
You know, as soon as you saw it was a tear. You could tell how he got his leg kind of got to hit from direct both sides. And whenever a player reaches for his leg, his knee like that,
yeah,
he feels like, you know, it feels like you're bleeding and something, and you want to put your hand over it to cover it. And that tells you, to me, it always has told me that there is a torn ligament there. And unfortunately for this young man, I mean, look, he got sacked 32 times. That was the 32nd sack, or he's gotten hit too many times. I thought Zach Taylor has not done a really good job of protecting him at all during the season. He's gone empty formations, kept the tackles out there open. Their offensive line has been a disaster. I don't like what they do, Cincinnati, in terms of starting with protection of this young man first, and then all they try to do is draw plays to get guys open. I think they need to get back into it. This was one of those, Patrick, that you knew was coming. You knew he was going to get hurt. You just hope it wouldn't happen.
You know, it was almost ominous, Michael. The only other quarterback to be hit more than him was Carson Wentz, which goes to our previous conversation, but I digress. Miami, with Taylor, we just kept on saying, if he sticks around, if he doesn't get hurt, like we saw this coming.
We knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You knew it was coming. I mean, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this one out. I mean, look, they weren't protecting them. They had two bad tackles. When they went to go play Tennessee, they beat beat Tennessee. I was shocked by that. I thought Tennessee would be able to put so much pressure on them. And yet, then when they played Baltimore and they played Pittsburgh, they couldn't block anybody. This kid took a lot of unnecessary hits that they could have done a better job with trying to establish. I mean, there was games when Mixon was healthy that they weren't even running the ball. It was all, right. You know, this new wave. We got to get five out and a route. You know, what about protecting your tackles can't block anybody. You know, and Mike Palm said it on the air. You know, he liked the football team because anytime a bad offensive line travels, there it is, you know. And this is one of the hard parts about handicapping this year. We don't have that rule. You know, under normal circumstances, that would have been an easy take Washington play because bad line, Cincinnati traveling into Washington, crowd noise, bad result. It ended up being true in this game, but I feel bad for Burrow. I really do. And if I'm Mike Brown, I'm concerned about where the future is if we don't fix this protection problem.
Well, if they give him any support, Burrow's going to be a star. I'll tell you who else may already be a star. That's Herbert. How about this kid? Now, they don't cover against the Jets. It ended up closing 9.5, a 34-28 win. But Herbert's making next-level throws. He's very exciting.
Herbert's a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League right now. Wow. I mean, look, if you're Chris Greer, and you're really being objective, and you watch Tua play three or four games, and you've watched Herbert play, you know you made a mistake. You know you made a mistake. Look, yesterday's game on Tua was an indictment of Tua. I mean, Vic Fangio said, look, I'm going to make you play small. I'm going to attack you inside. You're going to have to throw the ball outside the numbers. I'm not giving you any jump ball throws. I'm not going to give you any of these easy, quick slant reads. You're going to have to beat me throwing a pro-style passing game. No boots, no nakeds. And what do you have left? What do you have left is Brian Flores knew I had the only chance I had to win that game was to take Tua out. How the difference between two players? Herbert's talent level is significantly better than Tua. There's just, you cannot deny it. You cannot deny it. It's significantly better. Now, does that mean Tua can't be a good quarterback? No. But Tua's going to have to be a system quarterback in the right play with Chan Gailey running boots, running nakeds. In terms of just putting a guy on the field and saying, who's the most talented? Let's pick sides up. You're picking Herbert first every single time. And I don't want to hear that anybody would say they would pick Tua. That's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Tua, you have to be concerned on his play after that Denver game because defensive coordinators will continue to do what Vic Fangio did against them. You don't want to believe it? Fine. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. But I'm just telling you, it's going to keep happening.
And they're not shy about letting Herbert sling it, huh? 49 attempts. He completed 37 of them for 366, three touchdowns. And he keeps on, he's not making the mistakes. He did down in Miami a couple times, but no interceptions again.
Now, I mean, look, and everybody says, well, Tua's offensive line's bad. You want to play behind Herbert's line?
No.
Good luck. You know, sign a waiver before you go do that. You know, that line's horrible, too. That line doesn't block anybody, but he's got really good receivers, and he makes the throw. I mean, just to the naked eye, Herbert's arm to Tua. Did you watch Tua at all yesterday, Patrick, the other day? I mean, he just doesn't throw the ball with any velocity or any real zip down the field. I mean, as long as he had one play of over 25 yards going into that game.
So let me push back on the Tua situation. So he's benched in the fourth for Ryan Fitzpatrick. We saw Fitzpatrick. He does what he does. He forced a throw into double coverage, and it was picked. It's not that he played poorly. He's always going to give you that one big turnover. But if you've won five straight, Tua's won three straight. Flores, don't you want to see a young quarterback work through this in the fourth quarter?
I think he saw enough. I mean, he knew it. I mean, Vic had him. It was no different than, you know, checkmate. Basically, right. Brian knew it was checkmate. Brian knew he had no chance. Brian thought the only chance he had was to take two out of the game, keep him up, and go with it. I mean, he threw 20 passes for 83 yards. His longest pass play of the day was 13 yards. He needed two scores. I mean, you know, how long is it going to take us to get it? 13 yards, you know, like 20 attempts for 83 yards. That's not going to get it done. And so you got to throw it up the field. He took six sacks. I mean, Vic came into the game and said, look, we're going to make this small quarterback play small. That's what he did. Now, if you want to believe the Alabama hype and all this crap and all that stuff, go ahead, dude, just continue to do it. Just continue to do it. But the reality of it is can he be a productive player? Sure. He's got to be in the right system, just like Baker Mayfield has to be in the right system. Is he the most talented of the quarterbacks in the draft last year? He was the biggest one from Alabama, but he's not more talented than Herbert. That's not even close.
mentioned earlier, you've got four teams in the NFC East playing patty cake right now with three wins. The Eagles are percentage points in first. Now, let me ask you this. If you're going to bet this division right now, the updated number, the Eagles are plus 150, so your favorite. Cowboys, your second betting favorite at 3-1. The Giants, 3-1. The Washington football team, plus 375. If you've looked at the Eagles schedule, you're not going to play that number. They've got Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, and Arizona, four of their remaining six left. That is brutal.
If they can win two of those games, I think it's a miracle. If they can win two of them.
Look how badly they played in Cleveland. We got to be fair with this team right now.
You have to grade what you see. I mean, they're not going to turn it. Remember, everybody thought coming off the bye, they would turn. They got destroyed in New York by the Giants. And then the next week they come back. We're going to get it all together. Doug, Garrett, everybody, we're going to get it all together. Don't worry. They got killed in Cleveland. I mean, I'm so mad at myself. Everything told me to play Cleveland in that game. I said it on the air yesterday. And yet I kept thinking they had something in them, which they clearly didn't have, to get them, because their backs are to the wall. They need a win. I mean, they need a win. Look, give Dallas credit. Dallas went in there. Zeke ran the ball effectively. Dalton managed the game. Pollard was great on that run. They took advantage of Minnesota's lack of great depth in their defensive front, and they were able to come out the victor. If you had asked me, I would say Dallas, just because I think Dallas can run the football. They move Zach Martin out to right tackle. I might take a shot at Dallas. I don't love any of them.
I 1,000,000,000% agree with you. Dallas at 3-1, of course, get Washington here. But they've got they're going to be hosting, obviously, Washington. They go to the Ravens. Okay, Bengals, that's no Burrow. 49ers, have they mailed? Again, they close the season with the Eagles and the Giants. The Cowboys, essentially, you can win this division with six wins. The Cowboys are holding on to their destiny right now.
I mean, they got a chance to win six. They beat Washington. They beat the Bengals. They can beat the 49ers. They can beat the Eagles. And they can win five of those games.
Yep.
You know, where the Eagles can't. I mean, how do the Eagles, they get it? Okay, say they get into a track meet with this. Seattle has to feel like this is the best team we could play. They're not really going to attack us with our bad defense, and we can attack them. I mean, so Seattle knows that. They got to go Green Bay, up in Green Bay, Lambeau. I mean, good luck there. And then the Saints, I mean, look, I just don't see it. If we talked about how we thought Philly was an under 9-win team all off season, I think that's proven to be correct.
Yeah, I think by the way, that CeeDee Lamb catch was ridiculous, Michael. They're 3-7. They were big dogs in Minnesota, 7-point dogs, and they went outright 31-28. You know, the difference at quarterback was the story here.
Yeah, I mean, at least Andy Dalton's won 81 games in the National Football League. You know, he's played games. And they got their offensive line. By moving Martin out to tackle, they got their offensive line a little bit more solidified. And they could actually run their offense and run the football. I mean, look, Pollard came up with a big play. Zeke ran the ball effectively. Look, the formula for them is they've got to run the football. They're not any good on defense. We know this, right? Although I do think their defensive speed will eventually give trouble down the road to a quarterback like Alex Smith, who really doesn't move very quickly. I think that could help them. But I think they played the only way they can win, and that's the way they played it the other day against Minnesota.
Yeah, Jalen Smith is fast. He looked good yesterday he looked good in that matchup. Just so quickly, Mahomes essentially laying 118 to win 100 at BetMGM right now for MVP. I think that's a pretty good value. And then the Cowboys at 3-1 to win the division. Let's go make those two bets, Michael.
There you go. I think so. I think it makes the most sense.
Okay.
It really does.
All right. Well, listen, Gridiron Genius, of course, GM shuffles the podcast in always right here on VSIN, the Lombardi line. Have a great day, Michael.
Thanks, Patrick. Have a good one.
There he goes. M Lombardi NFL. If you want to give him a follow, you can always find us at VSIN Live on Twitter. And remember, 25% off right now. Go to VSIN.com/subscribe. This is the Lombardi line.